So you already said that everybody was getting back to more traditional roles within the group. So how, like, was that obvious? Like, what did the women do and what did the men usually do?
It was like back in old times, you know, when women didn't work, you know, didn't have job. It was not like we beat the women, you know. It was not like that we took their rights, nothing like that, you know. But it was made it like I was in charge for getting some things like food, like wood, like ammunition, taking care about guns. That was my part. And part of some women in my house was to try to keep my clothes clean, try to cook something from the things that I get home, try to repair my pants, my t-shirt. It was strictly we just share our responsibilities on the older ways, you know, like we don't do that today. Like anybody, like anywhere in the world, you know. So I guess we took it to the basic level, you know. Women stay home usually and take care of our cooking, cleaning, sewing things, you know, repairing things, and men's going out to get those things, you know. That was.
And within your group, like, how were like the jobs outside? What were the basic jobs men had to do outside of the house?
Or in most of the houses, so including in my house, because we didn't have had anything like supply or anything like that, so we pretty much very fast needed to go out. In maybe a few weeks, I needed to go out to get something to eat, also to get something to for firewood. So I guess every night when dark falls, every night, almost every night, my duty was to go out and find something that I can use, like firewood for cooking food. So it wasn't so easy like it sounds when you add all dangers, you know. For example, one night I need to go out and find some abandoned house and took every wooden floor parts from that house. So that's one basic duty was.
So, for example, so when you started that the first night, I mean, you just found that house and then probably you continued the next night, right?
In the beginning, it was very hard, you know. I didn't have any skills. I can say technical skills. I wasn't so good with my, I don't know how to describe it. I wasn't so good with my hands, you know. I didn't know how to repair things, how to take things apart, or I didn't know anything to do with tools. Okay. I mean, I know what kind, I knew what is a scissors or screwdriver, you know, but to go into the empty house and take everything apart was hard. Especially I didn't have any, in the beginning, I didn't have any tools. So I remember that first time when I used to go, you had duty to go out and find wood. I did that in, close to my house. It was one abandoned building house. It was almost completely ruined with grenades, with shellings. So inside that house, there's a lot of like chairs, beds, wooden frames of doors, floors, wooden floors. At first night, I used just simple tool from my car. I don't know, wrench. First time I used a wrench, it was almost took me whole night to gather like small cart of wood. It was completely consuming time consuming job, whole night job to collect that wood. And even when I get it home, I realized it was first time. I was learning everything for the first time. Even when I get it home, I realized that it was almost no use of everything because when I put that wooden floors floor, ceiling, how do you call that? Floor, wooden floor. When I put it in my stove, it burned like in half hour, probably because of that polyture. So I guess it wasn't worth it.
So how did you really get this out? I mean, you didn't have the right tools, but how did you try to get it out?
It was with blunt force, you know. It took me whole night, almost whole night, to take a floor, wooden floor from one room. It was made at, it's parquetry actually. So it made it from small parts. So imagine you need to with wrench to break apart first, made small hole into that whole ceiling. Small hole. Then from that small hole, you need to take small parts, piece by piece. So it's time consuming. Piece by piece with that wrench. Later, when I acquired some axe, it was easier. But first time, it was just, it wasn't so, it was time consuming, and when you add all your efforts, it didn't worth it first time. It was just almost in vain.
Yeah, too much work for what you actually got out of it, right?
Too much work for nothing, almost for nothing, because you didn't even, in that first day, you didn't know how to bake bread on, if I can say correct way. You know, our women in house, they used to know how to bake bread in usual way, in oven, you know. But to bake bread in oven, it takes something like hour or hour and 20 minutes, I'm not sure. And with that parquetry, just you don't have enough heat and enough burning time to bake a bread. So it was almost in vain. Much later, we realized that it was take much less time to bake a bread in small pots on the plate. It wasn't bread at all, actually. It was something like, I don't know, between donuts and something else. It wasn't, it didn't taste even like bread, but it was food. We call it bread.
And for like, how did you protect your hands? I mean, it's probably a bit problematic, you know, without all the tools. Did you have gloves or something like that?
In the first time, I didn't even realize how it was dangerous to get cuts. You know, you're just thinking with normal mindset, you know, so small cuts is nothing. But it was not like that. One of my neighbors catched like some kind of gangrene from small cuts. So pretty much we realized that even small cuts, if you don't have anything to treat, that small cuts can turn to the life-threatening situation. So no, I didn't have gloves in the beginning, but I had a lock, so I didn't use any cut in the beginning. Later, when I realized how dangerous it is to get cuts, I became much more
careful
about that.
And what happened to your neighbor, like with this gangrene?
He had the luck after 15 or 20 days after that, his condition, he get up, he leave the city with over the some connections with UN convoy. So he was lucky, he survived. He lost that arm, but he survived.
And back to scavenging and going out at night, did you try to be extra quiet or even hide stuff you couldn't scavenge yet or something?
Yes, actually, in the beginning it was, on one way it was easy because I didn't realize dangers from scavenging. I didn't have, of course, any experience in that. If I can say easier, I didn't know, because I didn't know real danger from that. A little bit later it become clear for me what kind of danger lie behind of that, all of that, because first to get to some point where you can scavenge, took something from some ruin or house, you need to stay alive to get there from snipers, from other folks, from anything. And then when you get over there, you need to be sure that house is empty, actually. After you realize that house is empty, you need to go inside and to take that things without getting any without hurting yourself, without getting any cut or whatever. And it wasn't so easy because it wasn't a house like in normal perception. It was a ruined house. So you are entering in complete darkness. You are entering in house where everything is on the floor. Everything is torn apart mostly. So you're going to have like pieces of wood, pieces of metal, broken glass, everything. So it's hard to watch. You need to dig through those stuff sometimes to find anything useful. It's not only about wood. I mentioned wood because it was most time consuming and every day or actually every night job to find the wood. But it's not only about wood. It was about everything. It was about to find piece of rope, to find some piece of metal so you can protect your window, whatever. Whatever it was, to find anything that you can use actually.
And then again, like, did you try to make it extra quiet or? Yeah.
Yes. You always. My goal was always to be quiet. Obviously, I couldn't just go inside and find big piece of metal and drag it to my house because obviously I'm making too much noise. So if I ever find it something useful that is too big for me, I always try to make it to hide it somewhere and come back later with somebody else to pick that and bring it home, or try to make it easier to carry with some kind of rope to make some kind of loop with that rope and sometimes carry it. So it was mixture of everything. It wasn't only just a thing of go in that house and take that something. So it was mixture of checking is it house empty, sometimes even is it any trap actually sometimes, because a lot of folks, not mostly, but yet a lot of folks even make some traps about how should I say that they own findings, if I can say that. So you're never sure what you can.
So
where you are walking on what can what thing you can step, you know.
So I mean, who made these kind of, you talk about like booby traps kind of things, right? So who made these, like maybe other scavengers who wanted to take the stuff, or former house owners who abandoned the house?
It was simple. If you are going to some other street other than your street, and people living in that street, and inside that street you have 10 occupied houses and 5 destroyed houses. Most of the time those folks from that street find that ruined and destroyed houses like their own property, you know, because they're using stuff from that ruins. So if you are coming from other parts of the city, other street, in that street, you are like a stranger, you know, you are on their territory. So sometimes people just put some kind of traps. Sometimes even they made traps from mine types, like put a big mine, anti-tank mine, and behind put the big mine on the top, and under that big anti-tank mine put the smaller mine on which is activated on demand. So when you lift that, so if you are going in that ruin and you see that mine, big mine, you will probably check that mine. And when you check in that mine, you try to even or to disarm it if you know, or even sometimes you can figure out, okay, this is rubbish, this is not real mine, and you take that mine to put it, to took it, you know. When you leave that mine, you are activating those smaller anti-infantry mine under that mine on demand.
Then,
yeah, then explosion.
And what other traps did you encounter?
Nothing fancy. Usually it was three or four kinds of traps. Most simple one, if people had the bombs, most simple kind of trap was to make small bomb with rope or how do you call that?
Wire?
Yeah, fishing wire. To make it activating on demand, Or even if you don't know how to do that, or if you think it's too dangerous, just pull the trigger and pull
the pin from the grenade.
Yeah, pin and put grenade into the glass, and put the glass somewhere when somebody going to pass, and if somebody touch glass is falling, and grenade is activating.
Yeah, because
there is no pin. The glass is broken, grenade is activated then. Other from that, it was simply just put a stone, put some kind of a big door standing on piece of the wall. So if you coming under that door, and you need to move that door so you can go into that room, the big rock gonna fall on your head. Simplest one. No, that was the usual traps for. Without people, usually they made traps with people, so they just gonna wait for you, you know.
Ambush
you and kill you, you know.
And yeah, obviously, I mean, this is kind of a good strategy too, because probably when you went out, you had your weapon along.
Yeah.
So actually, it's a good way to get a new weapon, for example.
Yes, it was one way to get a weapon, or at least to drive you away from that, to scare you. If they didn't kill you, they just scare you, and next time you're definitely not going to that part to try to find anything.
And you were talking, if we jump back, you were talking about hiding things you wanted to take later. I mean, how did you hide them?
Simple again. As I already mentioned, almost everything was in ruins. So if you find, for example, you find like 10 meters of rope, even that kind of rope on what you attaching the wardrobe to get dried, even that was pretty much valuable, or anything like that, you just dig it somewhere under the ruins, under the pieces of rubble, of rocks, of everything, if you cannot carry, and later can be somebody to pick that. Or later come with some kind of cart or something like that. Depends, is it too dangerous to drag it, or you must take it with your friend.
So what kind of means of carrying did you have? Like bags, ropes, or how did you carry stuff usually?
Most usual way, actually it was like something like three ways of carrying or pulling stuff. Most usual way was to make a simple bag from piece of the camouflage. It was in that time it was useful. It was usually I don't know why, not sure why, but it on every side was so much pieces of tent, military tent was made from pieces of camouflage
fabric.
Yeah, so. I guess that tent is made from three or four pieces of that fabric. So you take one piece of that fabric and just with small pieces of rope and make simple bag. So people just took things in that bag. It was usual to see men carrying that bag. It was one.
Where were the tents? Just like you. Where did you get the tents? I mean, you just had the army tents already, or where did you get them?
I guess during the first days of this everything, from some military storage or whatever, people just breaking into and took whole bunch of those pieces. So it was like free. It was almost. Almost free. It didn't war too much because everybody had that. Everybody had that because I'm not sure why. Probably in some of the storage at the beginning, ruin storage, everybody took that. I didn't took it, but somebody just gave me. It was for free. Didn't have any
wounds. In the first weeks.
Yeah, in the first days of everything. So people just, because that piece of camouflage fabric had holes on the ends to connect with other pieces and make the tent. It was all Yugoslav type of tents, and through that holes you just pull the strings of rope or whatever, and when you when you connect that holes, you have a like simple bag. You carry stuff in that bag. Other way was to pull things or push the things, mostly on the bicycle or on the all kind of carts. People made, everybody had a cart at that time, all different kind of carts. People made the carts from something like bottle boxes, plastic bottle boxes, if you know.
The big containers, like for like a lot of water?
No.
These round ones, no?
It was like in normal, usual time in store, you have like 20 bottles, glass bottles of beer and casing for that 20 bottles.
Yeah,
it's
the
a plastic. It's a plastic casing. So people use that plastic casing, just attach on plastic casing, just attach with nails, small wheels. They took that wheels from everything, from child bicycles, from rollers, old rollers, and just connect with rope and push things into that. Or to pull things on the bike. Most of the time people didn't drive the bike, you know. It wasn't so easy to drive the bike in the night and with all stuff on the street. So mostly people just pushed the bike with everything on the bike, whatever they find somewhere. Put everything on the bike and pushed. That was three ways.
And now going back to basically your work, I mean, so within the group of you guys, how many other, or I mean, the women were, or all of them were staying at home? Yeah. So, okay. So, within your group of men, I mean, how many people were like fit enough to really go out and work?
In my group, women stay at home, but it wasn't rule. It was rule in my house only because we have enough people for everything. So women stay at home. In some other cases, some other houses, women did everything like I did. So it was only in my house because we have enough members in my house. As I already mentioned, we have something like seven men in house. From that seven men, five of us mostly went out and did things. Two of oldest men, people didn't usually, no, they didn't go out. Sometimes they took to watch, you know, like guards in front of the house, but then they never leave the house to go somewhere, to take somewhere hard job, you know. No, it was on five of us men in the house. Not women, and not those two of oldest guys. Very soon, everybody realized that you cannot do anything if you are just stay barricaded in your house, because you didn't have anything in house, starting from water, food, whatever. You didn't have anything, so you must go out and find ways to get those things. Most of the time, if you are talking about go out during the night and find the things, if that is somewhere close, yeah, I will go alone or somebody else alone. But most of the time, we always go out in pairs or even at three men together. It was not so usual to go out alone. It was much dangerous to go out alone, you know. It wasn't it was not something like casual, you know, like tomorrow I'm going and day after tomorrow he's going. Or tomorrow I'm going to that part of the town, and day after tomorrow that part of the town. It was nothing like that. It was just, okay, two of us going out tonight into the street. Maybe we met somebody from the street and somebody has some news. If somebody has some news, like one night I go out and met my neighbor, and he says he heard for some guy in the other part of town, like have spare cans, and he need ammo for the spare cans. So everything was based, most of the time, information was based like on rumors or word on the street, and there was nothing like casual. Most of the time, nothing was too much organized in that scavenging, finding things. It was based on some kind of information and on luck.
And in terms of motivation, like, was it really sometimes, I mean, you got something good and then you, I mean, you took a break too, right? I mean, sometimes, or did you really just go out even if you maybe just traded for some more food or?
Even in that part of living, things much bring to lower levels. It was bring to only to survive. So it was not something like, oh, I'm too lazy tonight to go out. Everybody did everything for surviving. So yes, everything in my group, there is no anything like arguing about things. And even if we had arguing, we have a man who was supposed to be leader, who was leader, and he had last word. You know, he made the decision if we didn't act alone. But most of the time, if we have to do something, we act alone. I mean, we acted alone without any pressure from him, you know. We just do what we have to do.
So this whole conflict thing, I mean, did it get actually easier to solve conflicts? Like, because you were all under such extreme pressure to survive? I mean, this can go two ways because you're in a stress situation, so people are probably more easily irritated. But then again, you're in a survival situation. Everybody knows you got to keep your act together. So how did that turn out?
No, it was more like we all knew that this is something, some extraordinary situation. So we didn't have, I can't remember anything like any kind of arguing about our jobs and duties in that time. We just did whatever we have to do without any arguing, you know, all the time. In some other, actually, in my house, it was like that. It depends. My house had pretty good number for everything. We had a lot of members for everything. In some other houses, if you have two older wife and man, old folks, and they didn't have anybody else, just two of them. With time, mostly they didn't do good. You know, probably somebody killed them after some time, or they just died. You know, it was not like I knew a few examples in my part of the town. It was not like in the movies, you know, he just turned himself to skeleton from the lack of food. No, it wasn't like that. It was a mix of everything. He didn't have medications. He didn't have enough good food. Maybe he ate something, but didn't have enough good food. Didn't have support. He was living in with too much fear, alone, without anything. So it just killed you, everything together. They just died.
Like quickly, or I mean, I don't know, how long did it take for the first like weak parts to die in the first couple of weeks? Like,
No, not so fast, but I don't know, maybe in 2 months, 2 or 3 months, we all heard or see people who get died, actually mostly from starvation, mostly. It was mixture probably of everything, but mostly from starvation.
so there were a lot of like beggars and people like, obviously, I mean, that old guy probably, you know, at least tried to ask people for help, I guess.
Most of the time, it all happens behind walls in inside the houses, so you couldn't go at your window and see people begging at the street. No, there is no anything like that. Maybe some cases it was begging. I didn't see that. Most of the time, people just lock themselves in the house and try to survive with stuff what they get and what they could acquire. If he couldn't acquire anything outside his house, he just took what he had. Maybe he eat like once in 5 days or once in 6 days, and he survived like that for a month. But after a month, he just died from malnutrition. You know, it wasn't like he didn't have to eat 10 days and he died. No, it was like he was eating every fifth day for 2 months maybe. He just died. He was old. He couldn't survive that kind of life.
And did people like come to other houses? Like, you know, I mean, I understand it's not on the street, but you know, you've maybe know someone a little bit, you know, and you know maybe these guys, they're probably a bit better organized, or they're a big family, maybe, you know, they have a can of food for me.
Yes, it was a situation like that. So it was some kind of at the beginning, mostly at first few months, it was, I tried to help a few people also, but later when you came alone at your table and think about, am I going to help, I don't know, my neighbor or my members of family, you know, because when you connect the dots, you realize that after 10 days of helping someone, you're not going to have anything to give to your family, you know, to eat. So it was not like cruel thing, it was reality thing, you know. And on the other side, there used to be cases like, I can say richer people, not richer people, rich people, but people with more resources, more food, more everything. They help some people, and after that, people just rob them, you know.
The same people?
Yeah, same people. People just came, beat him, and robbed them. So it was about two things. You couldn't just show anybody that you have anything, first thing. Another thing, even if you had something, for example, even in the days when I had food for next week, on those days was rare. It was rare to have food for a week. Actually, it was almost impossible. I couldn't help anybody else, because after that week when I eat or gave somebody, that I'm not sure am I going to find anything else. So I used to give some food somebody to my neighbors in the street, and when it become on a regular basis, you know, when it become that same people coming every day or every night to my house asking for food, I just quit with that one night and says, no, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I don't have, even I don't have for myself. Even if I had for myself, I just lied. I don't have. It wasn't about cans. Those cans maybe cost still normal world, like, I don't know, 5 euros, but in that time, those cans means different between 1 day or 3 days, maybe food, or 2 days of food. So just, it was not too much charity, and it was not questions about cruelty or people. It was mostly it was question about reality thing. No, there is nothing about cruelty in that part.
What does it mean if you heard that old guy at the end of the road just died? I mean, in terms of your feelings, and in terms of, did you take any actions after that?
Well, only action what I could do after that, it's to stop wasting my food on anybody except my family. Well, I feel sorry for that guy, and if I could help him, I would help him, but if that means that my family member going to be without food, sorry. So,
but what I mean more is, like, you heard this guy just died. Like, I guess after some time it became a pretty regular thing. So, I mean, how did you process this for yourself? And was there, after that, when you heard this news, like, some action you took? Like, for example, I mean, this sounds hard, but, you know, you go over, check out the place if there's still something valuable, you know.
Yes, in that particular case, when I heard about that guy, I was too late. So yes, if I heard it on the time, I probably would go over there and check it for anybody, anything useful for me. It was nothing cruel in that time. It was basic thing, you know, to took things from other houses. I'm not going to say from other people, from other houses. Your house is empty. You go over there and took that stuff, what you like, what you need. In my case, in somebody else's case, he just took that things, even if guys are inside house.